holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, and it's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Your holy name.
One of the basic rules of speaking is never to have gum or a cough drop in your mouth. I don't care about rules. We have spent all year so far discussing community inside the building as a church family, impacting one another, that we have a responsibility to impact, to encourage, as the book of Hebrews says, to spur one another on. And we are to have an impact in the greater Van Wert community. And so because of that, we've had a few guest speakers this year talking about their ministries here in town. And Andy is coming on the 24th to do so. And wait till you hear him talk about the ministry and for the purpose of whether we're going to support him as one of our missionaries. I'll tell you more as it gets closer. We did a chili cook-off. My Sunday school class did a chili cook-off. And last week, if you were not here, communion was Tums and Gas X. That's all we passed out for communion because it could have been scary. And we raised around $700 to help a family in our community. That's incredible. That is absolutely amazing. Now, we've had a lot of requests to do the chili cook-off again. Because what I heard over and over again wasn't the dollar amount that was raised. I heard over and over again, that was fun. Do you know that you're a part of a church that does stuff like this? That's, it's fun? Because usually it's fighting is the word that's used with church things when they try to do things. But it was fun for us to do. How do we make an impact? Is it really that important? Is it just enough to come and have an impact because you're here this morning? I don't think that you'll be able to experience God fully if all you do is try to make an impact here at the church. You will not see him as clear as you need to. We need to make an impact in the community. Many of you have told me that you are now having conversations with people that you're trying to convince to come to church, to just experience it. And I love that. I love that attitude. I love that excitement because that tells me that you get to experience God here and you want someone else to experience God here. But understand this, the only way that you're going to be able to convince someone to come and visit here is if Jesus has changed your life and it's obvious. Otherwise, you can invite people to church all you want and they're going to look at you and go, what would I want to be a part of a church like that? And so many churches literally structure themselves so that we're just like any other social club. We don't, because we care about relationships. But I'm telling you right now, if it's not obvious that God has changed your life and is continuing to change your life, doesn't matter who you invite to church. And so I would encourage you to make sure that you're paying attention to you and your impact and how God has impacted you. I did a funeral this week for a family that just decided on a whim, yeah, we want to go ahead and have a service. So I get a call on Wednesday to do a Thursday funeral for someone I have never, ever met. But that's okay. I like helping the community out. And anybody that's ever heard me do a funeral, you know that I try to make it very personal, kind of like a memorial. It was an older gal that had passed away. Her husband said after the service 6 different times, that was perfect, that was perfect, that was perfect, on 6 different occasions as we were hanging around afterwards. But even before the service began, I had someone walk up to me as I was talking with the funeral home director, and we were talking about what it's like to be in the public image, and people walk up to us thinking that we remember who they are. You know, and chances are all they've heard is me speak somewhere and suddenly I know them. As we're talking about that, a gal comes walking up to me and says, you don't know who I am. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Is this happening right now? But I wanted to thank you. And this has kind of been overwhelming. I want to thank you for walking the halls of Crestview last week. It made me feel so much better that you were there. That's not the reason that I did it, but I made an impact in the community just by walking around the school. And we don't think of those in terms of, hey, I can make an impact. All right? The other thing that I got throughout the night and even after the service, what church do you preach at? The James Road Church of Christ. What came next? Oh, the Camels. You're the Live Nativity Church. Yes, we are. And I'm okay with that because you know what we've done with Live Nativity? We've made an impact in the community. People long for it. They live for it. They love it. And I think that is absolutely fantastic. Sometimes all that matters, by the way, is that you're present. Sometimes all that matters is that you're just simply there and your light is shining. Jesus being present on earth changed the way that we relate to God. Jesus in human form switched the church from rules to relationships, from the thou and the thou shalt nots to the love. And it made a huge difference. It absolutely changed everything, and they killed him for it. Doesn't always work out well when you try to do the right thing or the God thing. So this entire month, we've gone from the beginning of the book of Matthew to the end of the book. We're skipping a couple things. And going to the end where Jesus is already hanging on the cross. Because Easter always seems to rush up. And by the way, I love the fact that Easter is on April Fool's Day. Did you know that? All right? I love it. Fantastic. We're going to have fun with that. We're going to spend this month leading up to Easter with just a few hours of Jesus' life. But I want to tell you this. The way that he died is the way that we should live. The way he died is the way that we should live. And we talked about all the Beatitudes and being salt and light and everything else and hanging on the cross. He did all those things. It is absolutely incredible. These few hours of Jesus will transform your life from this point on if you let it. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be scary if you decide to do it. Well, let's find out how to do it together. Open up your Bibles. Open up your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 27. If you have a Bible, it's about two-thirds of the way back. You'll be able to find 27 there. If not, just tap that app and get there. As you know how, I have been promised that if my voice gives out, Olivia is going to come and finish the sermon, and she said she's going to preach on unicorns. So that's pretty cool. All right, here's the first thing I want you to see in verse 45. One of the difficult things about living the way that Jesus died is that the land is in darkness. There's darkness. Verse 45, from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. Anybody else feel like right now in this moment our land is covered in darkness? If you don't, you don't have a Facebook account, right? But here's the interesting thing about being in a land of darkness. Last week we learned that we are called to be the light of the world. And yet we allow the darkness to overwhelm us. We allow the darkness to get us down in the dumps. We allow the darkness to identify us. Instead of us going, darkness, I'm a light. Darkness cannot overcome light, no matter how small the flame. We are called to be light in the darkness. Is that what people consider you in this darkened world? Everything that you post, everything that you say, your attitude, stupid work hours, you know, on the team, in the classroom, as a teacher, are you light in the darkness? Or have you simply allowed the darkness to overwhelm you so much that you've turned into Eeyore? Oh boy. Oh, woe is me. Sorry, Jordan. Oh boy. Woe is me. Here's one thing that I have decided to do in my life, okay? Because I have a lot of pastor friends who have decided they are done with social media. They're just done with it. And I have decided, I'm going to use social media to be a light in darkness. Now, here's what you got to understand about that. There are a lot of things that I want to post and get into Facebook arguments about. How smart is that? Oh, it's awesome. It's so dumb. So dumb. So I have decided I will be a light in darkness. Anybody see my awesome Jesus tattoos that I posted the other day? Those are fantastic. Jamie wants one, I can tell right now. She's like, oh yeah. Why am I doing that? Because obviously I have nothing else to do. I want people to laugh. I want people to have a moment where it's not doom and gloom. Right? Now, the challenge for me personally is I will write things for the purpose of just writing them for me. I simply want to write them and put them in words and shove them off to the side. What's her name wants me to publish them. And I refuse because I don't want to be Keith Langdon. So I just write all that stuff and I throw it off to the side. And you saw about 2 weeks ago I decided to go ahead and post something about the Crestview chaos and being work chaos and stuff like that. And it went crazy. I don't know what to do with that. I wrestle with that. But I'm not going to let that stop me from at least doing something. I am going to use social media to be a light in the darkness. And we simply recognize that there's darkness in the land. Now, for Jesus, when it got dark and there was no nightlight, he cried out for his daddy. Anybody relate? All right, so let's look at the next verse, verse 46. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Really? Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" I have no idea if that's right. Adam will tell me later. Which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Ooh, now here's a verse we can relate to, right? He wants his daddy desperately. Have you ever cried out to God in the darkness, and the response he gave you was this? Have you ever done that? God, why? God, why? God, where are you? God, are you even listening to me? I have a friend who I'm trying to decide, how am I going to respond to this? Whose mom last week was diagnosed with cancer. If she does not do chemo, she's got 2 months. If she does do chemo, she has 8 months. And I haven't decided yet how I'm going to respond to that, because I just know that if I say, you have got to use this time to not only just celebrate your mom, spend time with her, ask her questions. I'm going to tell her to look over pictures with her. Just hear the stories while you can. But I'm going to suggest, and I know it, you need to pray, and I think I know what the response is going to be. Why? He's not listening. He doesn't care. And in the darkness, we cry out for God our Father. And we wonder if he really cares. In that moment, you have to recognize that now you know how Jesus felt, hanging on the cross with my sin. with your sin. And God goes, I can't look at that. That's the sin of the world. Every sin that had been committed is being committed and will be committed in that moment, all on him. And God goes, I can't look at that. When it feels like God does not care, sometimes we need to examine ourselves first. What sin is in our life that is blocking us from seeing God for who he truly is? At that moment, sin had overwhelmed Jesus. And we know that feeling. That's why we do communion, right? Paul tells us to examine ourselves first before we take it. Have we been living out Jesus' death? And he goes, you need to examine yourself first before you do that. You know why? Because of verse 47, there's dummies out there. Dummies. That's a very theological term. When some of those standing there heard this, they said, oh, he's calling Elijah. Eli, Eli. Verse 48. This is interesting. Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar. Come on, this church is full of wineaholics. I know you are. You ever had wine vinegar? Ugh. Sounds like that hot salt water my wife wants me to drink every time I'm not feeling good. You ever gargle with salt water? Okay. And offered it to Jesus to drink. Verse 49, the rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. Here's why we've got to be light in darkness. Because it is amazing how dumb people can be when we're suffering. It is absolutely amazing how dumb people can be when people are suffering. When some of those standing there heard this, they said, oh, he's calling Elijah. Later on, we learn it's something to laugh at. Being godly, being a light in darkness, literally invites us to be mocked, to be made fun of. And when we're mocked and when we're made fun of and people tell stories about us that are not true, it hurts. Come on, it hurts. We don't like it when people mock us and make fun of us. I know that it's part of the job, but that doesn't mean that I like it when it happens. When people tell stories about me that are not true because I'm trying to live like Jesus died. Now, I do like verse 48. At least there was somebody that tried to serve Jesus while he was suffering. It doesn't seem to make any sense to us that you would try to bring comfort to someone who's dying on a cross, but at least he tried. That I can appreciate. But understand, we are going to be surrounded by dummies that care more about sneering and laughing at us than serving. Which one are you? Because I'm telling you right now, we live in a world right now that could care less about listening, but we love telling people how dumb they are. And the church is no different. And we've got to be careful that if we are going to live the way that Jesus died, we live in such a way that we are just simply serving others, no matter what they call us, no matter how much they make fun of us, we are going to serve because we are going to live the way that Jesus died. Which one are you? Do you care more about sneering or about serving? Now look at verse 49. There are two things that people say about Jesus. Leave him alone. Interesting. Have you gotten to that point in your life that life is so dark, it's so chaotic, you want to serve, you want to do something good, and somebody goes, leave God alone. It makes a difference in our lives. We've got the opportunity to be light in darkness in that moment when someone says, just leave God alone. And here's part of the challenge. Let us see if Elijah comes to save him. Are you here just for the show? Seriously, are you here for just the show? Are you here to see what t-shirt I'll wear? Every time, this is a good one. Oh my goodness. This is one that violates scripture. I know that I'm leading you into temptation right here. Look at that. It's a great shirt. Are you here just for the show? Because, man, I'm telling you right now, the music is good here, isn't it? Man, I missed the drums last week. Kiddo, I missed you. Good job today. Are you here just for the show? Well, I get a gold star today. I went to church. Now, let's see what happens. Maybe Dave will show one of his dumb videos again. Are you here just for the show? Or are you here to serve? Are you here to live your life the way that Jesus died? That's what you've got to figure out with all this stuff, because you're not going to be happy this year. I warned you at the beginning of the year that God's been messing with me and he's annoying. So starting in the month of May, we're spending 5 months in the book of 1 Timothy. And you're like, oh, I didn't know there was one. It's annoying. It's probably been about 2 years now that I've been telling God no. And we're just going to do it. It's uncomfortable. It's not fun if you're here for the show. But if you're here to serve, you're going to be like, yeah, let's do this. Let's be this kind of a church. So you figure it out whether you're here for the show. If you are here for the show, let me encourage you, you're missing out on the real show. Because the show is all about being a servant, loving God, and loving our neighbor. If you are here and you think that this is all there is to it, I encourage you to repent today and come down front. If you are all about serving others, but you're like, I don't know what to do, God, you come down front and be surrounded by people that will encourage you and lead you in such a way that you will be able to serve God and serve others. Let's be a church that does that. Let's stand together and sing our closing song this morning.
Keep on singing. 10,000
worship your holy name.
And so, Father, we will bless your name, not only in song, but as we leave this place, and maybe before we leave here today, we will live the way your Son died. God, you understand when we feel like you're not there in the pain and the darkness and the chaos and the hurt, when life just turns completely upside down. Be with those who are hurting and suffering, and may we be a light in their darkness. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pray. Amen.